Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday.
The lights are on.
Another Crab Feast with that ass. Good to touch a couple of your pitches, Joe.
Got a little...
It took a jump, though. It jumped in, and then it got a little rattly.
You know what it is, baby. You know what it is.
See queasy plane.
Tuesday signs out here.
Fucking assholes next door doing their own electric.
We wanted...
Blew our shit out.
Rye wanted a Tuesday sign forever.
There it is.
We got it. And then we got it hooked up. The whole thing is awesome. It was expensive.
Yeah.
And then what? 5 months?
That's
5 months.
Right. Yeah.
No, a little more because we were in the other office until
That's
we
true.
Moved into
That's
the studio.
True.
7 months.
Seven.
And then boom, it's out because of those fucks.
But is it your theory,
man,
or is it blown out? Is it not receiving enough juice from the wall? Because why is that light working all of a sudden?
Yeah, because it's plugged into that wall. It's yeah,
where
I think
that
it's
is.
Shot out.
They blew our light out.
Anyway, what's up, Feaster Nation?
Jay Larson Comedy.
Great to be here with you. Great to be here with you guys. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy on all social media. Some upcoming dates to let you know about. Ryan and I will be out there at the Petaluma Comedy Festival in Petaluma, where I just was, and I love it up there so much.
I'm very excited to be back in Northern California.
On the
18th. Northern California.
It's going to be great. And then September 20th, I'm going to do a little 3 nights in Colorado. So I'll be at the Dickens Opera House in Longmont on the 20th, on the 21st, the Aggie Theater in Fort Collins, and the 22nd at the Pace Center in Park, Colorado. Looking forward to that. So please come out to those shows if you're out there in Colorado. They should be a lot of fun. And that's it. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. I've got a good run of some in-town dates here. If you're in L.A. and want to come out and see me, they're on my website at ryansickler.com. Ice House, Comedy Store, Improv, West Side. Got some good ones. Jay will vouch for all those venues.
Great venues.
TheCrabFeast.com for any and all Crab Feast-related info. Speaking of Crab Feast-related info, Jason Larson, you guys are tearing the Kentucky Derby shirt up.
It's over now.
What?
Today's the last day.
Oh, today
day.
Was?
Today is the last day.
Can you buy today?
You can buy today.
Tuesday.
Ends today. Tuesday. The 31st.
And that's it. And then it's
and
a
that's
wrap.
That's it. And then and it's a wrap.
Gone.
So if you haven't got them, go get them.
Go get them. And as
then
all...
when you do get them, it'll be 3 weeks after today. Then when everyone gets them, you got to send us picks,
oh,
social
yeah.
media, because everyone's got different styles, you know?
Yeah, that's right. I forget that you
yeah.
can make them ladies' cuts, crew neck
different
hoodies,
colors,
pullover
yeah.
hoodies, colors. And as always, the Crab Feast Tuesdays, FTCFs, all JUCOs and whatnot. Hey, Play is, of course, available through the Crab Feast website. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. You know what? Something we haven't said in a long time. Throw up some more 5-star reviews, guys. They are still coming in, by the way. I just looked the other day, and it's been months. And I was like, oh, my God, you guys are killing it. You know, we're on Spotify. We love Laughable. So make sure you follow us on social media, on Facebook and Twitter as well.
And super excited to have this week back brooklinen.com. I literally, last night I got into bed and I had like a piece of pizza, I'm not going to lie.
In the bed?
Yeah. And I didn't see anything. It was dark. You know, we were going to watch a movie. And I reached back. And I just felt something wet. I'm like, what the? And I had sauce on my hand and right on my Brooklyn. And I got the stripes on one and then polka dots on the other. So I had to take that off, put it in the wash, and then get the dots out. And I was like, man, I goddamn, I love these sheets so much.
Can I just share a story?
Sure, Ryan.
I too love those sheets so much that and maybe if you're a listener or a Brooklyn and employee, you might be able to help me out. I cut my hand, and I got like about a dime size worth of blood on the back of a pillowcase. And I've washed it and cleaned it and cleaned it. I can't get that stain out, but I love those sheets so much. I just flip that side over on the back and lay right on those pillows. You only need one side.
You know what I mean? Brooklyn is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Over 20,000 5-star reviews. That's almost more than the crap.
Almost, man.
They're incredible. It feels like you're sleeping in a hotel, which is the thing. I love going to hotels, and I love great sheets, and that's exactly what these are. They're based in Brooklyn, not your typical New Yorkers. They live in the city that never sleeps, yet they're committed to bringing you the best sleep ever. The great thing about it is they're cutting out the middleman. You know what I mean? You're just buying the sheets, so there's no markups compared to, like, bedding can be super expensive. You don't know what thread counts you're looking for, and it's just ridiculous for what people are putting out there. Luxury sheets. With Brooklinen, you're getting the luxury sheets without the luxury markup. Most bedding markup 300%. That's insane. They take out the middleman, keep things personal. From design and manufacturing to customer service and beyond, they have great designs. You can get a solid color for your base pillow, and then you want that pillow up top, you get the polka dots, baby. Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Ryan and I both say that.
Hands down.
Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer for just our listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code Feast, F-E-A-S-T, at Brooklinen.com. You spend a third of your life in your bed, for crying out loud. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love their new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. Brooklinen.com, promo code Feast. Brooklinen, these sheets are the best sheets ever.
Summer is here. We see y'all out there at the beach. Some of you like the pool. Some of you like the lake. Wondering what to wear this year when you fall off that rope swing and your buddy's filming it and your video goes viral. Well, forget about flash in the pan trends and guesswork and get classic surf style from Birdwell that will look good year after year. Birdwell Beach Britches is one of California's original surf shops and board shorts. In 1961, surf mom Carrie Birdwell Mann transformed her small Southern California home into a sewing room and store, launching Birdwell and creating one of California's first surf shops. They're legendary for their quality. I mean, our producer Jeff's got a pair for decades. They say people come in all the time out in their factory in Santa Ana.
When we told him we were doing an advertising, he's like, I had a pair of those forever.
Yeah, he jumped on
it. I mean, these things,
he's like, those are birdies.
Insane, yeah. Yeah.
Like I, you know, they say all the time they have people coming in 30 years and older. They're seeing them. They're, the Outside Magazine calls them the 501s of the beach. They're great. They sent us a pair. They're awesome. I've been wearing it at the pool all summer. They're built by multiple generations of family and serves generations of families. So to get 10% of your first bird, to get 10% off, you're not just getting 10% of the shorts, y'all. To get 10% off, they're like,
we'll get that drawstring.
Give me my other leg, man. To get 10% off your first Birdwell Beach Britches purchase with lifetime guarantee and free shipping over $99, go to birdwell.com and use discount code CRAB, C-R-A-B, at checkout. That's discount code. Discount code CRAB at birdwell.com. Birdwell Beach Britches. Pick up your first pair of birdies and see why they've been an American icon since 1961.
Well, this guy wasn't been around since 1961, but he is back again for the second time on the Crab Feast.
Return.
And we're excited to have him back, and we know you're going to enjoy him. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Dave Ross!
Dave Ross!
Welcome to the Crab Feast!
Welcome back to the Crab Feast.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here.
Yeah, man, I love this show.
Jay made you what is that? A hottie toddy? What do you call that?
It looks like a hot toddy, bro. But it's a coffee. It's a light coffee.
There's no alcohol in that?
No.
No. We could put alcohol in it.
We could.
I mean,
probably shouldn't.
No. But that's the best of both worlds, getting you spiked up and bringing you back down.
Well, welcome back to the Crab Feast.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, Dave Ross.
It's great to have you here.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Well, you know the deal. Before we get into anything, why don't you go ahead and promote whatever you'd like to. Let everybody know about your social media, your shows, your TV appearances, whatever you'd like.
Oh, sure. I'm Dave to the Ross on everything, at Dave to the Ross on Twitter.
T-O or two?
T-O. T-O-T-H-E. DaveToTheRoss.com is my website. On there, I have tour dates all the time, and that'll be on there. And my show, Good Heroin, is every Saturday.
It's a great show.
Man, yeah, you both have done it.
It's a great show.
It's so much fun.
I think it's pretty good.
I can't even fuck with it. It's a really fucking
It's a great show. Yeah, we don't like having Jay on, but it's a great show.
It's a very good show.
You've been running for a while now. How many years?
3.5 years now, man. We just did it last night. It was, man. And I have a new podcast, too.
Great.
Which I would have you guys on if we ever had guests.
What is it?
It's called Suicide Buddies.
Mm-hmm.
It's with Hampton Yunt. You guys know Hampton, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And every episode we talk about a different person in history who killed themselves.
Interesting.
Yeah, man, it's fun. It's also, like, just real dumb. It's a lot of, like...
I thought you were going to say dark.
It's dark.
I thought he was going to say morbid.
It's morbid, but there's also, like, a lot of 69 jokes and 9/11 jokes and stuff. I mean, it's me and Hampton, so it's just real stupid.
It's your speed. We were talking about, off mic, about one of your TV appearances. I didn't realize it had been... I didn't realize it preceded Good Heroin, but Drunk History, you said... That's the drunkest you've ever been in your life.
Oh, man, yeah.
Your life.
Yeah, actually, probably not in my life, but I think...
Before, because I just want to... Because very few people, I bet, can say the drunkest I've ever was in my life was this one day. So it has to be... I mean, can you think of like when you were the drunkest you've ever been in your life?
Yeah, when I got jumped and woke up in the hospital is the most drunk I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
I guess
when something big...
Yeah, you can point to that
like that. It'll never happen again either, unless I get drugged. I did
you
get
got
drugged.
Jumped and went into the hospital.
Yeah. I literally, that whole, I mean, you know, woke up in the hospital. I woke up in the hospital. I was rushed in an ambulance. They gave me oxygen. I don't remember any of it. None of it. I just remember waking up and then everything was explained to me.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, all right, listen, you told us got to go fuck yourself.
I was hung up. I was literally, I said so many times now. Face over. I couldn't do anything, and I was just an easy grab for some drunk people that wanted to fucking, you know, start some trouble.
Be an asshole, yeah.
Yeah, they broke my jaw. I have TMJ. Fucked my skull up back here.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was legit. I almost died. I was out.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
All from that? Damn.
And I had concussions. Like, I was dizzy.
Got back in the game, though, dude.
3 or 4 months.
Back in the game, son.
3 or 4 months, I was violently dizzy to the point where I would almost throw up. I had such a concussion. Whoa. Like, if I laid down and got up, I would almost throw up every
time. In all fairness, he was working at a roller skating rink. So, you got to, like...
Yeah.
So, I was the only ref out there with a helmet on, man.
Always drunk at the roller skating rink.
Enough about my story that's been said enough on this podcast. So, yes, you can't actually, real quick, back to you. You can't say this is the drunkest I ever was.
Nah, I don't think so. I mean, I've had some times that I was blitzed, but nothing to like was to epic proportion. You know what I mean? I once like shotgunned 10 beers in 7 minutes. I got pretty
Holy
fucked up.
Shit.
That hit me at the club. And I was like,
I gotta go home! Just like physics wise,
we were doing funnels.
Oh, Jesus. Did you funnel all 10
beers
one
in your body?
Just blast that back out.
No, I was like, you know, I was fucking. We were putting a lot. You remember in college?
How old were you? Oh, college.
In college,
okay.
You know? Yeah. And then there was on my 21st in college, I did like 8 shots in 45 minutes, and that was I end up like blacking out twice, like. I when I throw up, I get everything out. My body gets and so I'll black out and just pass out because no oxygen can get out, even when I'm sick.
So your body gets everything out but oxygen.
You know what I mean? Like, you're bent over so much, everything gets shut down.
Yeah.
I did it on like...
You're just like... you can't even control anything. It's
in
just
college,
your body's on its own shit.
We did this spring break alternative thing where you go and you volunteer for the week of spring break and you like help... We like went to Maine and helped build homes and like painted like a school. We did all these things. And
listen,
then like,
y'all can still get fucked up. You're just not at the beat.
No. Yeah, the drunkest I've ever been, I built a house.
This wasn't drunk. I got sick from like... I mean, that's the one where I was trying to prove a point to my buddy who was sick and sat a day out, and I licked my hands after being like working on a farm all day.
I licked his hands with some norm.
So that night, I got violently ill, and everybody was like, we used to do a circle. Everyone's sitting in a circle at the end of the day and talk about like what did we learn, how did we grow and stuff, and I'm in the other room. It's paper-thin walls, and I threw up so hard, I
I just fell on the floor, blacked out, and they were freaking the fuck out.
I'll bet. Yeah.
What's happening? And I'm like, nah. And then I come to like, this is what I do. This is my process, man.
My brother's super nonchalant about when he has to puke and stuff. He just stays in this pocket like almost all the time right here, you know. And I remember he came to visit one time. We were in Beverly. He's like, I want to go to Beverly Hills. Let's go drink there. So we go drink. He's getting hammered.
Where'd you go?
There was a strip club back in the day in Beverly Hills. Do you remember that? On Beverly.
Only Ryan Sickler's taking someone downstairs. To a strip club.
My brother wanted
Hills.
To go. He wanted to go. So we go there. We hang out for a while, and he's drinking a lot. And on the way home, we're driving up, you know, those big, wide Beverly Hills roads, and he just all casually is like, pull over real quick. I got to throw up. I throw up. Blast. It's blasting.
Wow.
I'm dying. And then he just gets back in the car. He's like, all right. That's it. It's done.
What?
Yeah.
It is a scene when I'm throwing up. It is like, it gets emotional. I like, it'll, everything will be fine. I'll feel myself puking. I'm the guy who's in the back of your car going, oh no. Pull over now. Yeah, and it's also the end of the night. I've never been able to puke and rally. I like, if I throw up, I'm throwing up for like 35 minutes straight, and then I fall asleep on the bathroom floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It sounds like we drank similarly in college.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when I was a sophomore in college, my roommate and I lived, we went to USC, and we couldn't find an apartment except in downtown LA, and we didn't have bikes or cars. So it was just the two of us every night, and we wanted to get fucked up every night.
Where was this?
In LA, in downtown LA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we had no way to get to 4 miles south where our friends all lived, so we just got drunk every night. And we invented this drink that we called the oil change.
I already like the name of it.
It was just a funnel of an entire OE tall can with two shots of whiskey poured into it.
Oh, my
God.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Dude. So what, how tall? A 40?
No,
22.
Oh, no, a 16 ounce. You know, you can get those four packs of 16 ounces. Right. So not a full tall can, but a 16 ounce.
Old English 16 and two shots of what?
Whiskey. And it was probably like
shitty whiskey.
Ancient age, dude. Yeah,
God.
Just awful.
James Early.
And that's the oil change. Why is it making you shit yourself?
I think because it was in a funnel.
Clear.
That was not
out.
The reason, but that's a good reason. We were just looking at the funnel like, you should have a name, because everything has to have a fucking name when that's
all
your
right,
life.
So what's the record for oil changes in a night?
Oh, man, it has to be 4 or 5.
Are you serious?
Oh,
Jesus
Christ. Dude, back then,
that's making me sick thinking
I know, because malt liquor, dude, just
mixed with whiskey at the same time.
And,
like, chugging all that down and that back rush of whiskey hits. Oh, that's just making me sick thinking
back
about
rush,
it.
Back rush, huh?
Yeah, it's coming on that backside.
Look at that back rush.
Look out for the back rush, everybody down!
I've never even heard of the back rush
of
whiskey.
No one has, dude. It just came out.
Hey, bullshit. I didn't just invent that. You're right. I
said no shit.
It's coming down a funnel like chug, chug, chug. That whiskey's just sitting up against the back of that old E, and as soon as that old E's through, here comes cheap-ass whiskey.
Here
comes
the back rush. That's how that works.
It's a back rush. It's clear like oil and vinegar just sitting there waiting. That whiskey's just, you know.
I don't know what's going on.
That is so...
like a haircut chair, you know, just sliding its time, you know.
So
sick,
dude. Yeah, too much drinking. The next year, I lived in a house with three other guys, and every night I would like on the way home from work, I would buy 240s and I would drink them, and then someone would get a handle of whiskey, and then we would cash that, and then we would get like a 12 pack
in a night,
dude. Yeah, it was
two
bad,
people?
Man. Four people.
Four.
Yeah.
See, that's still a lot.
Still a lot. Yeah.
All my drunk stuff happened before L.A. Because once I got to L.A., I was just not like...
You're just serving them.
Yeah, I was serving them, but I didn't like ever get super fucked up. The only time in L.A. I can remember getting like super banged up was, you know that show, that drinking show the guys have in like... out like in like... Echo Park, where it's in the backyard and it's packed and
brouhaha. Yeah.
So you give certain words, they give certain words to the audience before I get up, and if I say any of them, they have to take a drink.
And you don't know what the words
are. No. Okay. And for the person who goes before you, they have the same thing. And for the amount of times that the person before me, like, had the audience drink, say it was 12 times, I have to then, when I get on stage, do like drink for 12 seconds straight.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Right?
That's how you start.
And then the next person
it's
has to, too.
Crazy.
But I got up, and I had already been drinking, and I got up with a glass of whiskey and a thing of beer. And I go, how many do I have? And they go, like, 14 seconds. And I go, tell you what, I'll either do 14 seconds of the beer or 7 seconds of the whiskey. And they call for the 7 seconds of the whiskey.
Oh, man.
And then, you know, I'm kind of a dick. And I caught
Plus,
on.
Plus, I'm going to lick my hands full of shit right now.
What's up, man? Then I caught on super quick to, like, what the game was. So, like, I saw them drink on certain cue words. And then I was like, oh. Hey,
so can you repeat that?
I go, before I say anything else, how about this? Scotch, gin, tequila, bourbon. And, like, I started just naming as any. And they started, that audience fucking hated me, and I forget who had to go after me, but it was like 28 seconds they had to. So we got blitzed there, and then we went to this bar and played pool, and we got even more fucked up. Me and my buddy, who's like another dad, that he's not in comedy, he's just a dad. I'm like, you should come to this, I think you'll like it. We in the Uber home, he falls asleep in the Uber home, and he lives like,
is he drinking like that too?
Yeah.
Okay.
He lives like a mile from me. I have them drop me off at Fat Burger. I go into Fatburger because I'm so drunk.
He's in the car still or no?
No. He fell asleep, and I dropped him off. I had them drop me at Fatburger. I'm so wasted. I'm spinning just sitting at Fatburger that I'm like, put my food down on the table, and I'm just pacing up and down the aisle at Fatburger at 3 in the morning.
Trying not to puke
in the Fatburger. People are making boomerang videos out of him and shit.
And then I end up sleeping on the couch until 5 a.m. and Kate comes out. She's like, what are you doing on the couch out here? I'm like, I'm so drunk, man.
Oh, my God.
Man, one of the drunkest I've ever been was, you guys remember the show What's Up Tiger Lily, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
When I started.
Never did it.
You never did it?
I don't think I ever did it either.
I did it before that fucking bunk chick started booking it and wouldn't give me any shine, and I said, sure. All right, go F yourself.
Yeah, dude. I ended up boycotting that show.
You did?
Because of that.
Fuck yeah, same dude. Thing.
Yeah, man.
Because of that.
You got to stand up for it. Because of you. Yeah, like
I
you
heard that room. Yeah. I didn't know that story, but that's why I quit.
when I started, like, that was the show I would go to before I started stand-up. And then when I started, I was like, man, if I could just do that show. And then, like, a year or so in, I got booked on it. And so after I celebrated and I went out and I was just like buying people shots and I just got wasted and it was in Los Feliz.
Celebrating Tiger Lily.
Man.
You know what? You should celebrate the small victories. You should. They stack up.
Oh, man. And like, you know, 9 months a year in, it feels like you're doing Conan on a show like
that. For some.
Yeah. So I just got wasted all night and everyone kept
you're
like
buying
slowly.
Buying shots for people?
Dude, like. Comedians that have been doing it for 10 years and they're just like
$15, man. Yeah, man. Let's go.
These guys are just like, all right, I guess we'll let this open micer buy us shots all night. Yeah. And then everyone kept like slowly leaving and at like 2 in the morning and closed the bar and I go to what's it called? Fred 62, the diner out there.
Oh, yeah. I love Fred 62.
And back then they had this sandwich called the Tower of Power, which had like four pieces of bread and all this. I ordered it. I couldn't even fit it in my mouth. I remember it falling all over me, and then I passed out sitting in the booth. And I got woke up by the server. Fred, who was just basically Fred. Like, are you kidding?
I just did Tiger Lily.
I'm so happy. I'm a fan of this.
The kid just did Tiger Lily. Let him sleep at the table.
I was with my friend Monique, and she was like, we should go. And we walk out the front, and she was like, I'll give you a ride home. And I was like, no, I'm fine. And she was like, no, you're not. And I somehow convinced her that I was fine to drive home. And then I walk over to this, like, that metered parking lot near there. I get in my car, turn on the car, and then immediately I realize, oh, shit, this is bad. I'm not okay to drive. So I go to, like, get – I don't even remember what I was trying to do to, like, get in the back seat or something. Just the motion to do that, that's my last memory of that night. Smash cut to like 7 in the morning. I wake up laying down in the back seat of my car with the door open, my feet outside the car on the ground, and the car is still running.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
where
man.
Were you?
I was in Los Feliz. I just slept there from like 3 to 7 a.m.
With the car running.
With the car running and the door open.
People might have thought you were dead.
I'm sure they did.
They might have thought you were dead.
I can't believe I didn't get robbed.
He tried to kill himself. No one reported you for help.
No one even tried.
Nope.
No one. Also, no one drew a dick on my face.
Nothing.
Like, nothing at all.
I can't believe that.
If I could go back,
cop wasn't even by and all that.
Yeah,
time?
Man. Nothing at all.
I would love to have found you, knowing now that I know you, and just like slid you over the passenger seat and then drove to like Dude. Griffith Observatory and just left
so
you there.
So funny.
And then you would have woken up being like, "What the fuck?"
Oh man,
my even if you just drove me like 15 feet. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, wait, how did I get...
Right. Or someone could have just planted you and, like, put you on someone's front lawn.
Yes.
And then just fucking laid you on the horn.
Oh, my God.
My brother, we went to a friend's wedding years ago, and both my brothers and I were there. We don't get to do that often. I come home for it, and it's way out in Western Maryland at this barn. It was really nice. And my brother just got, he just got way fucked up. You know, he found the one dude that smoked weed.
Of course,
you know, I'm in it, and so I can't get over there. He's all hitting weed. He's drinking whiskey. He was drinking. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, I'm getting fucked up, man. I'm fucked up.
Is it hot out?
It's hot as shit. It's a Maryland muggy summer, you know, and we're leaving. And my younger brother's driving his car. He had a Grand Prix, a two-door, right? And and it's tight in the back. And he's like, Ryan, you need to sit in the back in case he gets sick. And I was like, I'm not sitting in the back. I'll get claustrophobic. I'll get sick. I'm sitting up front. Hopefully he'll pass out. You know, my brother's freaking out. He's like, he just does not want.
Is your twin brother?
My twin brother's drunk when my younger brother's driving.
Yeah, well, the twin brother is a lot taller than Rye getting stuck in the back of that Beretta.
Yeah, and he does. It's a Grand Prix.
Whatever.
And he does not want to. he is not want my brother to throw up in the back. And, you know, then you just start hearing that. I feel sick. And I'm like, oh, here it comes. You know, I'm like, here it comes, Ty. He's like, come on, man. He's like, so I'm leaning up. You know, I'm leaning up like this. I open my door. We're in bumper-to-bumper traffic, but we're on the interstate. We do not know why we're in bumper-to-bumper traffic. And just as we come up, it's a crime scene. There's Maryland State Troopers all in the shore of the road. There's tape, police tape, do not cross. There's a car.
We're like, the police tape said do not cross?
Yeah.
Wow.
It said...
this is a serious crime scene.
It ends up being one. You make fun. And you're about to hear what the fuck it was. The problem is my brother starts going, ah! And my younger brother's pulled on the shoulder. And I'm like, Todd, he's throwing up in a crime scene right into the Duke.
On the chalk line.
Oh, my God.
There's just this car parked there, and we don't know what's going on. My brother is puking all that, and the police are, like, looking over. He is hanging out of the bottom, you know, down here. I'm leaning all forward like this, and I'm dying. I love every second. He is puking in this crime scene. Then our buddy's uncle doesn't know. He's behind us. He doesn't see it either. So he pulls out into the grass, and he's like, yeah! You know, he's making fun of my brother throwing up, but he's driving right through the shit. And they're flagging them down.
Mario Van Peebles out there.
They're all fucking it up out there. So we get to this gas station finally, and it was a parking ride. So my younger brother leaves. I get my brother's truck where he left it. We're driving home, but he needs gas.
Wait, was this an actual like work for people like commuters parking ride, and you guys just used it? Yeah. You guys.
Wow, that's so crazy.
Everyone else is like getting a shuttle from a thing. Yeah, he's like, nah, we'll just do the parking ride. Fucking trash.
That's exactly what it was.
You got your pass? Hey, you got your weekly pass?
It was just a side lot on the side. That's what it was meant for. Anyway, we parked his 4Runner there. I'm driving it, but we need to get gas. We get through the gas station. He can't stop throwing up. You know, he just overdid it. But at this point now, he's got this McDonald's cup. It's an empty cup, and he's just dry heaving. He's just going, and it's slobbering.
Do you have a water? Anyone get him a water?
Well, we're just finally getting into the gas station. I'm pissing myself, and he's talking to himself. He just keeps going, why do I do this to myself? Why do I do this to myself? Come and on. I have just tears are pouring down my face. I can't fucking get over it. We finally get home. We turn the fucking news on. It's a double homicide. It was a love triangle. Some dude got in a car with his girlfriend and a new guy and killed both of them. That's what that fucking crime scene was. And he fucking...
Some guy came in a quad coming through the woods.
What?
Well, you had the couple, you had the triangle, now you got the quad.
Well, that dude killed him. And then we get home, and my brother lays down for 15 minutes and gets up, and he's like, who wants to get a cheesesteak? Totally rallied. Like, just straight, like it was nothing. I was like, you're unbelievable, dude. Why do I do this to myself?
Yeah, why do I do
why
this?
Why do I do this?
Sometimes you have to do it. Like, how you got fucked up the most you ever been in your life.
Oh, man, yeah. That was definitely...
But you were doing it for a job. That's what's funny to me.
Comedy's ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It sure is.
It's such a, oh man, it's no wonder it doesn't pay much. It's such a good job. I did Drunk History. It was cool, man. I mean, it was like, it's especially cool to do that show because it's like the best show.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it was, I'd never been on TV. They asked me to do it. And also, I'll say right off the top, those guys who run that show are good people. And they, like, there's a lot of bullshit. Everything takes forever. Pitching things, being on things, hearing back about being on a TV show takes months and months.
Forever. It does.
The way this went was a friend of mine managed one of the producers of the show and saw a tape of me at the Moth in L.A. and was like, I'm going to send this to the Drunk History guys. Next day, they emailed me, and they were like, can you come in tomorrow for an interview? And I was like, yeah. Went in for the interview. Day after that, they emailed me and booked me. Took 3 days total.
Man, that's incredible. Yeah, I'm a Derek Walters fan. He's a Baltimore guy.
Nicest guy, man.
I've met him at South by Southwest once. He was great.
He's a Baltimore guy.
Yeah.
Man, that makes sense.
I'm
going to
send him my Baltimore Colts story when it comes out on This Is Not Happening in 2026.
Do it.
Hopefully Drunk History's still going.
Is This Not Happening? Is it, like, not happening?
They broke it up into two seasons. Oh, okay. So we're on. We shot in July of 2017, a year ago this month.
And it'll come out next year.
It'll come out in 2019.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, man. So I did the show.
What story did you have to learn? Explain to people if they've never seen it how that show works.
So they send you, after they book you, they send you a list of stories. And then you pick which one you like out of the list. They sent me a list of like 10 originally. And this is another reason I love them. Like I said, I'd never been on TV. And so they knew it was a big deal for me.
You know how we knew it was a big deal? Because I was at Tiger Lily that night.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, man.
I mean, this is no Tiger Lily, but I'll do your Drunk History bullshit, I guess. I initially picked the Cuban Missile Crisis, and then they called me and they were like, hey, we don't think we're doing the Miami episode, and we don't want you to get cut, so if you could pick another story. And I was like, God damn, you guys are great. So I picked this story about this judge Wade's wearing in the 40s and 50s in South Carolina, who basically had a midlife crisis, and he was like a segregationist, and then basically had a midlife crisis and was like, oh, shit, segregation is bad, and tried to end segregation in South Carolina. It's a cool story. And I practiced the shit out of it. They give you a little blurb and some links. And so I did all this research, and I took their story and sort of like made it my own. We did a sober run through over the phone. Then the next day, they were showing up at my house at 5 p.m., and they told me to be two beers deep when they got there.
What unbelievable
production
show.
Notes.
Yeah. Also, I had to get a physical from a doctor to make sure that I wouldn't die when I drank all this. And the doctor was so funny. He was this hilarious, like, 60-year-old dude who was just like, Comedy Central's paying for this, right? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, how long has it been since you went to the doctor? And I was like 5 years. And he's like, oh, man, I'm doing a bunch of shit right now.
That's great.
Yeah, it was awesome. So I get this physical, and I pass.
You got polio.
I had polio. I had the plague.
Imagine.
Yeah,
hey,
I had Lyme disease. I had all kinds of shit.
You polio.
Good luck tomorrow, but you got polio.
Yeah, you can drink, but you're gonna die. So they tell you to be two beers deep, and also legally they can't buy you. They can't give you money to pay for liquor.
Yeah.
So they give you a location fee. And then they like sort of nudge you, and they're like, make sure you have enough beer at your house.
Is that what you were going to drink is beer the whole night?
Yeah.
How do they feel about weed off camera?
I'm sure they're going to be fine with it, right?
Off camera. Fine, I believe.
Come having had.
I think I abstained from smoking weed to make sure I could get real drunk and not puke.
Yeah.
But turns out I was going to puke no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I at the time, and still today, I drink mostly. When I drink like really thick, dark stouts and porters.
You didn't do any oil makers?
No oil changes. Yeah, no. I didn't have to deal with the back rush that night. So I bought like 7 or 8 22 ounces of this really dark stout that I like, and I drank one of those bombers of it. And then Derek and the whole crew shows up at my house at 5 p.m. And I tell the story one time while drinking one more of those 22 ounces. I finish it while telling the story. We go into the kitchen, and Derek has brought a bottle of Bushmills. We take a shot or two of Bushmills, and I have zero memory of what happened after that.
Nothing.
That's the point right there.
That's
from
the point.
That moment.
I must have not looked at the alcohol content of these bombers.
No, they're fucking crazy.
They're like 15% or maybe. Yeah, 9 or more.
You know what wine is? Wine's like 22-23%.
That's what I drank when I got jumped.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So no think idea. About that. Yeah, you just fucking pounding. Yeah. Like
I pounded two of them in the span of probably an hour, and then I took two shots of whiskey, and I was just done, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
broke up the oil change. Same shit. Yeah. The end of it.
Totally. Just, yeah, I just took my time a little bit. Yeah, yeah. By the way, quick aside on that note, I was once in an airport bar. I was in a Chili's in the St. Louis airport. Guy walks
Stop
in.
Stop bragging, dude.
I'm rich as fuck. This guy walks in and he goes, "Give me an Irish car bomb." And then the bartender goes, "You want that to chug or to sip?"
To chug.
And I was like, "Don't you always chug an Irish car bomb? Who sips an Irish car bomb?"
Bombs are most likely chugged. But yeah. Like, you know, that guy maybe is just like, you know, are you an adult or you?
Why are you allowed to even request that? Why is that drink allowed to be on the menu in an airport? Let's talk about that.
Absolutely.
Anywhere it's going to be. I've never seen anyone try and upsell more than they do at an airport. You order a beer, they go, you want a tall boy, you want the small.
I'm talking about a car bomb, specifically that word.
Oh, right,
sure,
right,
say that word in the airport. Why is that even allowed on the fucking menu?
I don't know.
This is also 11 a.m., by the way.
Yeah.
Guy orders an Irish car bomb, and she says chugger to sip, and he goes, "Which one's cheaper?" And she goes, "It's the same," and he goes, "To chug then." And then he chugged it, and he left, and he was wearing way nicer clothes than me. Anyway.
It's called functioning alcohol.
Yes.
Yeah. So I black out for, I believe, 7 hours.
And you're not even rolling yet when you hit the blackout.
No. And, I black out for 7 hours. By the way, I thought... Like, for months, I thought that in my blackout of 7 hours, I told the story numerous times, and they had like five or six
right.
takes of me telling the story, and I don't think I told the story another time until I came to out of the blackout, because I blacked out for 7 hours, and I came to in my bathroom.
And they stay with you the whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in there. And man, God bless them. They should have left. They really should have. Because I was in, I can't even, like, I mean, you've been hearing my stories. I drink. Yeah. I know how to drink. I've been drinking for a while. And I come to in my bathroom puking. And like I said, I've never been on TV. I'm screaming at this TV crew, get the fuck out of my house.
Oh, no.
Why are you here? Leave me alone. Just like, I just wanted to throw up in peace. And then Derek and Jeremy are just like, come on, man. We just got to get it one more time, dude. And I like, finally, I...
You'd only done it once?
Yeah, I found that out later. I'd done it one time. God.
And they hung out with you for 7 hours?
Yes.
They probably also legally had... You're getting someone drunk. You probably are responsible for them.
And they made the plan. They have their shooting schedule, you know. Maybe I did it one more time, but that's still not enough.
Right.
And so I, like, after throwing up, I calm down a little, but I'm still hammered. I sit down, I tell the story, and I can tell it's great. I'm, like, crushing with the crew. And if you watch the show, like, basically everything they used is just from that. And, like, thank God, because they only didn't get it that many times. And so then you can see, too, the crew after. They're like, cut, and the crew is like, oh, thank God. And they start breaking down immediately. And I'm just now feeling good drunk after having blacked out for 7 hours. I also later find out they had a nurse on site who administered.
I was going to ask if there were they had to have one legally.
They have to have one. She administers oxygen to me, which I also found out later.
I don't remember my oxygen either, man. Look at what we have in common.
And tell you what, I mean, going through all that, I had zero hangover, and it was definitely because I was administered oxygen.
Really?
And, yeah.
That should be the secret, then. We should do that.
We should absolutely
Every morning,
do it.
Just pump yourself full of oxygen to get up.
I slept perfect.
Just got one of those drop downs, like in the plane.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Put it on you before you put it on the kid kind of thing. Yeah, yeah.
But you never throw up on them or on camera or anything? I know they've probably seen the worst of the worst.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They are sort of used to this. And so then, like, after I tell the story and the crew's breaking down, there's one guy left who's just, I forget the term, he's, like, intaking the footage or whatever. And I'm now, like, real drunk but in the pocket and just, like, feeling great. So I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I just taped Drunk History. I'm gonna roll myself a joint. So I roll myself a joint, and then I drove drunk to Jack in the Box.
They let you?
Well, the guy, right when the guy left, I was like, hell yeah. And I, yeah. And but yeah, I'm not proud of this.
Right. You're just saying.
I'm just saying. Yeah, I drive drunk to Jack in the Box, order the most food anyone's ever ordered, and then I smoke the joint on the drive home from Jack in the Box. You know, because I'm the coolest motherfucker who ever
you're
lived.
You're out of your mind.
Yeah, and then I just eat like a bacon ultimate cheeseburger and 7 jalapeno poppers and a chicken sandwich. You know.
Yeah.
I wake up in the morning, and I feel fine. But I'm having those, you know, when you have a blackout, you have those like little tiny flashes of memories. Yeah. I had a little memory of being outside and I was like, wait, why? Because they shoot it, you sitting in your living room.
Yeah.
And I was like, why the fuck was I outside? And Derek called me at like noon or one and he was like, hey, bud, you okay? You doing okay? And I was like, yeah, man, I'm okay. But I have this memory of being outside. Why were we outside? And he goes, oh, I'll tell you why we were outside. About 4 hours into the shoot, you wanted to take me outside to look at the stars with me.
Are you serious? Yes. You walked him outside.
I walked him outside.
They didn't put any of that on TV?
No, there is. They did. Okay, so have you had Mike Burns on this show?
No.
Oh, man, you got to have him on the show. Because not long before I taped that, I had just moved. And I had lived in Filipino town before that, across the street from Burns. Except he was crashing on Mike Bridenstine and Mike Holmes' couch. So when he would hook up with his girlfriend, they would do it in his car and down the street, or at least this particular time. And they got held up while they were hooking up in the car.
God, that guy's got to be frightening.
Dude,
you pass out with a door open and a car running, no one bothers you.
Comedians are a mess, dude. This guy sticks a knife through the sunroof while Mike is hooking up with his girlfriend. Mike, you know, Mike is nuts. He throws the door open, just fights the guy, which is not how I would have reacted.
No.
Actually, I think I'm missing a part. They give him a bunch of stuff, and then the guy's like, give me your phone. He's like, I'm not going to give you the phone. And then Mike just fights the dude. And then another dude runs over, who is just waiting somewhere in the dark, stabs Mike with a tiny knife. He gets sent to the hospital, gets stabbed twice.
Damn.
Trying to defend his girlfriend and his phone. Yeah, so the thing that made it onto drunk history was I'm like walking wasted down the street right after I showed Derek the stars, but the viewers don't know that I showed him the stars. Right. And he goes, hey, why'd you move to this neighborhood? And I was like, I moved to this neighborhood because my friend Mike got stabbed while he was getting a hand job. and that's on the show.
That is on the show.
Yeah. But yeah, I took him up. He tells me, you took me outside to look at the stars with me. And then we asked you what your favorite love song is, and you just started singing that song, First Day of My Life by Bright Eyes. So I just started singing a Bright Eyes
song.
What
song is that? I don't know.
Oh, you don't know? Dude, it's just, all you need to know is that it's the wimpiest song of all time. This is the first day of my life. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And I thought that was going on TV, so I was mortified. Because the only reason I really want to be on TV is to prove everyone in high school wrong.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, everyone who called me gay in high school. And and then I just go on TV and I'm singing a fucking Bright Eyes song. I was like, what a nightmare, dude. Yeah.
Well, you fucking did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the whole point. You're like, fuck yeah, I'll show you how I do it.
Yeah, man, and I'm proud of it. I mean, like I said, it's the best show.
Blacked out for 7 hours.
Seven hours. That's a long time.
I met the editor of my episode like a year or two later.
I can't believe they didn't try to get the story from you while you were, you were asleep, like out cold.
He was on his own mission.
Like taking him outside.
That's what I'm saying. I
would have
been like, let's go. Let's get the story from while he's blacked out.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't.
He probably couldn't tap into that reservoir. You know what I'm saying?
Reservoir.
I met the editor, and he asked me if I wanted the footage from the entire night, and I said no.
Oh, you
out of embarrassment,
that.
But that's stupid. I should have gotten it. Yeah,
you should just hit him up, be like, you know what? 5 years later, I think I do want it.
And he told me,
man, I haven't done much since that drunk history. Like that footage.
He came up to me at Nerdmelt, and he goes, "Hey, I know you." That's how he said it. Hey, man, I know you.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah."
Oh yeah,
he knows
real
you
well.
Better than you know his ass.
I got 8 hours of footage of you. Oh,
the editors always know you the best. They're watching frame by frame of every fucking thing you do, say, how you look.
Yeah.
I want to hear this story about Vegas here.
Oh, God, dude.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I absolutely know what you're talking about. The first time I went to Vegas, I accidentally picked up a prostitute.
Now, how do you accidentally pick up a prostitute?
Well, I'll tell you what you do. You your friend goes to sleep because he doesn't want to do cocaine. And you're like, well, fuck this guy. And yeah, man, it was crazy. I went for it.
Was it your first time in Vegas?
It was my first time in Vegas. I was 20 years old. I didn't have a fake ID, but I had an expired ID that my friend found in a gutter in Pasadena from a guy who looked exactly like me named Mitchell Hal Felix.
You're not going to believe this shit right now.
This is unbelievable.
Mitchell Felix! Get your
Come
ass
on in here,
player. Man. I can't even believe it. He's
Bring
been looking for
back,
that ID.
Dude.
Mitchell Hal Felix.
Looks exactly like me. 168 Valdivia Circle, San Ramon, California. Yeah, man. Mitchell Hal Felix.
Hal Felix, okay.
Yeah, man.
Oh,
and
my
so that
God.
Was my
Is that
ID.
Three names or is Hal Felix a last name?
Three names. Hal was his middle name.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I never met Mitchell Hal, but I don't know. He helped me out a lot in
he
my
sure
life.
Did. Anybody out there knows him. Put
They're
him in
gonna
touch
look
with
his
Dave.
Ass, yeah.
He yeah, so I was running around 20 years old with my friend, just like going to as many casinos as we could, and then I just like I don't even know how it happened, but I just got coke from some guy. And by the way, I don't do drugs at all anymore, so it's funny. I tell these stories and it feels like another person.
Yeah, right?
It's crazy.
Right,
yeah. So I buy coke from this guy and my friend
this
I was
guy,
with
Mitchell over here wants some coke now. Let's see if we can't score a little bit.
He's got like five names.
I don't know. Some Halifax or some Nova Scotia shit or something.
Mitch Halifax wants some coke.
Get him out of here.
Yeah, I just wanted
please,
to shut the fuck
everyone,
up.
Everyone, please find Mitch Hal Felix. Right?
Yeah, Mitchell Hal Felix. If you listen to this, please.
Say the address again. You still haven't memorized.
168 Valdivia Circle, San Ramon, California.
How long has that been?
I was 20, 20? So 15 years.
Holy shit. Yeah, still remembers that. I had a fake ID. I do not remember anything.
Oh, man.
Not even a name.
I was so afraid of getting caught. I burned it into my
so
brain.
So you score coke from
yeah.
somebody.
And I was with my buddy Matt, and he was a frat guy and did not do cocaine. And I was like, wow, you're a paradox. And so he just goes to bed, and I'm like alone with his coke, and we're staying at the Flamingo. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to play blackjack and do coke by myself. And so then it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. From 1 a.m. to 5 a.m., I just spend that entire 4 hours doing coke and losing all of my money at blackjack.
How are you doing the coke? You getting up and going somewhere?
Yeah, totally. I sit at the table for a while, lose like $400, and then run to the bathroom, do more coke, and I'm like, I got it now, and then go lose more money. And then eventually I run out of money and coke. No, that's not even true. I just ran out of money. I still had a bunch of coke left, and but I'm really coked up, so I feel great, and I don't care that I lost the money, and I'm just wandering around the hotel, and I'm like, all right, I guess I'll go back to my hotel room. And as I get to the elevators
what
to
hotel
go
are
up,
you in?
The Flamingo, and right in front of the elevator is sitting this like beautiful woman, and she starts talking to me, and we got along
like,
really well.
This is
doing it, baby.
Yeah.
I'm coke strong.
Yeah, yeah man.
Down ain't under.
I am clearly so attractive.
Mitchell,
yeah.
Stay right here, baby.
Mitchell's a smooth guy, man. Yeah, so Mitchell meets this lady, and she's beautiful, and she's in love with him. And he takes her upstairs to his room. I start making out with this girl. I'm just like, this is the best night of my life.
This is a great night. I'm having fun for you right now.
Did you bust out the coke with her?
I did, but not for a minute. Yeah. Because I didn't know anything about her yet, and we're making out, and we were making out for like 5 or 6 minutes, and at a certain point she just pushes me back and goes, "Hey, before we go any further, I need to run down my menu for you."
Oh.
That's how I found out.
And you were like, "Girl, steak and cheese,
oh yeah,
with some truffle fries."
Yeah, man, I'll take 4 sliders. That's so great, dude.
Sliders.
Yeah, so she says, let me run down my menu, and my reaction was, I literally say out loud, shit, shit, man, shit, what's your menu, though? Because I'm in,
right,
I'm coked up,
there,
I
right.
don't care. Yeah.
You don't have money, but you got coke.
Yeah, and she goes, it's $300 for me to stay the night, $150 for sex once, $80 for a blowjob, and I was like, I'll take it. And it was so funny, because
so for $230... you're getting sex and a blowjob,
and it's an additional $3 just to have her sleep there.
Another $70 to have her stay 70. The night. It's like $300 stay the night.
Or sleep at $70. Make it the fuck out. I paid you to sleep
she
here.
Got paid to get a hotel room.
I paid you to sleep here. I'll tell you what's off the menu.
I think.
Do you have a lunch menu? Anything with a compressed amount of time.
$300. I'll watch Law and Order with you.
You get this is my this would be my pitch. You get 70 back if I can stay tonight with you. Mm-hmm. I get the free blow job if I stay the night. That's my pitch. So, oh, damn. Man. So
yeah,
how much
so
total?
80. I just said 80.
So you took
I
the
was
head.
Like, that's the one on the menu.
And went and got the app.
Totally. And the app. Yeah, totally. I picked a starter.
Let me just
yeah,
go downstairs and turn this 40 into 80.
Got them small plates.
Hold on. I have to go sell some cocaine.
You just go next door to a room in Vegas. Yeah. You could do that.
I just go find the guy who sold it to me, and I'm like, hey, man, do you want some of this? Yeah, it's funny, too. I remember.
Mitchell, can I take something from the mini bar?
There's a funny thing about doing coke, too, or maybe just being drunk, or maybe being in Vegas. I don't know. We're like, my whole life I said, man, I'll never get a prostitute, ever. Isn't it so funny? Like, you never really know if that's true until it's presented to you. It was immediate, man.
I mean, she was in your room.
Yeah. I, like, my whole life, never get a prostitute. Do you want one? Oh, yeah.
You're
yes.
also jumped up on fucking yeah. coke, dude.
Yeah. That's true.
You're not and making a, rational
a,
decisions.
A losing streak, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You know what the other part is too. You were, she had you locked and loaded that she was just a chick that was fucking down for you. So your yes. ego popped in and was like, oh yeah,
right.
All right, what's on the fucking menu?
Yeah, totally. Right, but then immediately anxiety comes in because I'm like, oh, I heard the menu, I got to pick something, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't even remember if there was something cheaper than a blowjob.
A hand job is what I'm wondering. Probably for like 40, you could probably get a handy or something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else is there?
Did you do coke with her?
I did. Right after, so I said I picked the blowjob, and then I was like, do you want to do some coke? And she said no, but then, man, without missing a beat, she pulls a meth pipe out of her purse and goes, you want some of this? And, dude, I'm coked out of my mind, and still I'm
and,
like,
and
no.
You know you always say still you'll never do meth?
No way. That's gross. You're disgusting. Yeah.
But you can suck my dick for
$80. Yeah, I know. Dude, totally. Who's making judgments here?
Well, how did you come up with the 80?
Well, that's the problem. I was out of money. I mean, you know, I had a little bit in my savings account. So
Savings account? Yeah, he's dipping it.
Dude.
It's the meth head.
So
that's literal meth head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, straight up, man. And so I literally walked this girl to a bank. That happened because we went down into the casino floor.
She's
and it's
like,
a,
you're getting into staying the night territory.
Yeah,
going for a walk.
Just go ahead and get an extra 70.
It's already 5:30 a.m. too. Like, I don't know what stay the night even means.
Yeah,
and it's such a maze, and I'm all coked up, and she's all methed out. We can't find an ATM, so we just walk outside. And we walk outside, and the sun's coming up. And I shit you not. The first thing I saw when I walked outside was a guy jogging. He jogs by. He goes, what's up? And I just, like, had a meltdown because I was just, like, thinking about, like, dude, this guy, he woke up early to better himself today.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he knows. I'm just prolonging
Cocaine's
the worst decision
now.
Of my life. Yeah, totally. I haven't had coke in a little while. And so I'm just, like, spinning out. And I turn to this girl and I'm like, look, I'm not a pay for sex guy. I just sort of got lost in this. You seem great. I'm really sorry. I don't want to do this. I got to say, see you later. And she was like, oh, dude, I've been working on you for hours. I'm calling Rudy right now. And I just like, I borderline start crying. I'm like,
Rudy!
Who's Rudy? Yeah, totally.
She's
Rudy. Like, Rudy's my pimp, man. And I was like, all right, I'll take the blowjob. Fine.
Meaning you better get something.
Yeah. It's like, we're doing this or you're giving me money and we're not doing this. Yeah. But either way, you're giving me money. And so we go to a bank.
Which is now open.
Which is, yeah. Which yeah, obviously.
I mean, great teller.
Great place to get your dick stuck.
Yeah, we just do it right in the lobby. Yeah, I'm right like, fuck it, man.
Let's get it over with.
I already got money out of there. Yeah, I get money. We go back to my room. She suggests.
Is that really open that early in the morning in Vegas? I've never tried to go
to
the bank.
You went to an ATM?
There's an ATM in the front of the bank. Yeah, yeah. And We go up to my room. My friend, by the way, is passed out this whole time. Mm-hmm. And she sees him and she's like, we should go in the bathroom. And I was like, well, you're polite. you're a nice person. We go in the bathroom. She sits me down on the toilet, takes my pants all the way off, and puts a condom on me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And she's about to go down on me. And like, dude, out of nowhere, I just start getting super nervous about the size of my penis. I like just
I'd have been worried about the Rude.
Yeah, man. I'm
yeah, the size five. Is not where I'm going
to
be.
Yeah, I was just a piece of shit that night. I don't know what I was thinking. I just wanted to impress her. I don't know. And she goes, hey, don't worry about it. And she starts going down on me. And then I'm getting into it. And then like a minute later, she pulls back and she's like, hey, it doesn't seem like you have coke dick to me. And I just look at her and I'm like, you're goddamn right.
My God.
Oh, I'm a monster in this story. I
just lost $900 downstairs.
You make sure you fucking tell Rudy that.
Yeah. And then right after that, I'm not even shitting you, I fell asleep. I just fell asleep in the middle of getting a blowjob.
Are you serious?
Yeah, totally. I fell asleep right away after that. I wake up next day at noon.
She robbed his buddy.
I was just saying, he's hog tied on the bed.
She robbed me.
She did.
And that's real. She took my coke, my money, and she took all of my clothes. Just took my bag, took all my clothes.
Oh.
She was like, she was unhappy with her customer experience.
I don't think so. I think she was like, I'm going to get the fucking
that's
most
her
of
hustle.
This.
Yeah.
Right, totally.
You know what I mean? Imagine if you hadn't passed out, she would have been like, that was so fun. See ya. And then
right.
You're like, oh, you're going to sleep? All right, cool. I'm just going to add to the bank.
Right.
Oh,
I mean, Rudy might have been your size.
Rudy's out there with your t-shirt.
Man,
and shit.
That's so funny. That's so funny. I do this bit in stand-up, and that's a line in it.
It really?
Yeah, that's so.
Look at that, bro. Look at that.
Sharp, sharp dude.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Well, God. So what happened the last time, this most recent time you went to Vegas?
Yeah, this happened to me twice. The last time I went to Vegas, I went for my buddies. I don't know, man. I think I'm just a stupid person.
It happened again, he said.
I'm just, like, out of it, man. I walk through life not present. And I'm there for my buddy's bachelor party. I haven't been to Vegas in a long time, so my friend Bobby and I, like, really tie one on. Everyone else goes to bed. They've been there for 5 days longer than me. Bobby goes somewhere to try to find weed. And I meet this girl, and we're just talking, and she's cool. And we don't hook up, but, like, we're talking and just getting drunk for, like, an hour. And then I'm like, hey, I think my friend found some weed. Do you want to go get high in our room? And she was like, yeah, I'd do that. And she just literally goes, by the way, you know I'm a sex worker, right? And I was like, what?
God damn it.
God damn it. And she was like, how did you not know that?
Sex worker.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
What are the cues? Did she tell you what you're supposed to look for?
She was like, if the girl is in Vegas and tells you she's a dancer, that girl wants you to pay for sex with her. And I was like, I don't think that's true. And she was like, nah, it's true.
The guy who's two for two. Right.
Yeah, totally. And what's funny is, like, she was like, man, she was really cool, too. And she was really down to earth and just kept being like, this is a bummer, like, I've been working on you. Like, you know, my job is to, like, work on Johns and get him to, like think I like him and then, you know, get him into it. I've been working on you. Like, this is 90 minutes gone and I was like, ah, damn.
Here's
I just gave her $30.
You did? You just gave her 30?
Because I felt bad.
And she was cool with that?
And she was like, wow, you do not have to give me this much money. And I was like, screw
this
it,
much.
Man. I don't care.
That's $20 an hour.
You were yeah.
That's more than that, isn't it? Yeah. No, it's 20 an hour.
I thought it was 30.
Yeah, for 90 minutes. Right.
Yeah, I was just thinking, it was like, it was good company, and it is her job, man. I don't know. Screw it, dude.
He's paying for company now.
at least you stayed awake.
At least she didn't steal my clothes. Right, maybe I was paying her to not steal my shit.
Yeah, when you got your clothes stolen, God. How many more days did you have in Vegas?
Oh, we were leaving the next morning.
He's got a fucking flamingo hoodie and shit on.
The bathrobe.
Yeah, everything. He's just wearing all
totally.
Flamingo shit.
How depressing was that fucking flight home and then the next day?
Oh, my God, dude.
Because coming off all that coke, wasn't it like just fucking you're down for like a day and a half?
The whole day. Oh, man, you know what I forgot? Our car broke down in the desert.
On the way home?
Oh, you were driving home?
Yeah. We were driving. It was my first car I ever got in New York.
What was
it? Driving. It was a 99 Toyota Corolla. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. The perfect car.
Right before the turn of the century.
Yeah, and we drove. My buddy flew out to New York to meet me. We just road tripped across the country, staying at places and having fun. It was great. It was a really great trip.
I bet it was.
Yeah, and then perfect trip, actually. And then Vegas, and then our car broke down, and we got home, and people were like, how was the trip? And I was like, it fucking sucked, dude. Worst trip of all time. Yeah.
You came with a list of stories here. I want to hear this one about this bathroom story in Fresno.
Oh, man. You haven't heard that? I feel like...
I don't know.
You might have seen it in stand-up. Early on. You guys know... I should not be forgetting Adam Hammer. You guys remember Adam Hammer?
He had a great episode on the Craft Feast.
That is not surprising. He's so funny, man.
He's great.
Great storyteller. First guy who ever had me feature for him was Adam Hammer.
Oh, all right.
He took me up to Fresno. He was doing a short, one show a night weekend at a Thai restaurant.
Thai Palms.
I did that
with Josh Adam Myers. I took him up with me. Yeah, okay. We've talked about it on here. It's insane.
Dude, Fresno is a crazy place, yeah, man. What was your night like?
Our first night, it was school. Well, this is what they said. School was back, so there was no... They canceled the Thursday show, I think. No. I'm sorry. It was supposed to be an in-town show Thursday, another show we were supposed to go do. Then like one or two on Friday and one or two on Saturday, I think it was. And then Saturday
did they send you to Visalia instead?
That's where they were going to send us, but we said no to that shit.
That's a good idea.
I'm not doing that. I'm here for Friday and Saturday then. So I did two Friday and we did two Saturday. Well, we were going to do two Saturday. He canceled it and then was trying to say he'd mail the money. And I was like, nope. And I drove to his place. I took him to his home and made him fucking pay us and count the money right in front of us before we drove back.
Kind of like Dave with
his lady in Vegas. We were not leaving without our money.
Man, that's funny to hear because I hadn't thought about the booker, that dude. I had totally forgotten about him, but that dude was a weirdo, man. Yep. He was like, you don't really come across a lot of people in Hollywood that are stereotypical old Hollywood weirdo anymore, but that guy picks us up and he goes, what do you guys need? You need coke, girls? And we were like, what?
Are we
what
in
are
Vegas?
You talking about, man? And I don't know if Adam had money problems, but Adam is not a dude who... takes shit from people at all. So if he did, I know he got his money. I would imagine that happened with you and him, and then he never made that mistake again.
I don't care if you canceled it. We were here for the two shows. Yeah. You canceled them. You're fucking paying us for those
shows. Absolutely. That's
his
fault.
I'll send it to you. No, where do you live? What do you mean? You're going to get my car right now. We're going to drive to your house. You're going to get that fucking money. That's
Man,
what I mean.
These are some of my favorite stories of people getting their money at comedy shows. People think that they can just push comedians around. Dave Stone has great stories about this.
Oh, yeah?
May I hear this story about... Because Dave will literally, like... You know, he's been doing the road, the, like, non-club road. He's up there?
Yeah, I got him on the list somewhere.
He would probably have a longer version of his story than me, because I wasn't there, but he...
He also lives in a van, so...
That's right.
He told me this story. He will literally stand in the back of a room... And just look at the doorman and watch how many people come in and how many people he takes money from and then do the math and then go call the guy on it after the show if he doesn't think it adds up. So apparently
Dave Stone's not the only one. I know tons of comics that are like bigger names when they started getting door deals and they were like getting more reputable, they would have like someone in their team or crew or girlfriend just stand there with a clicker.
Man, that's smart.
And anytime they were like, oh, yeah, wasn't sold out. Like, oh, really? Because it was this number. A lot of guys used to do that.
Yep.
That's smart. I don't know. I guess I just
D
hadn't...
used to do it for Ralphie.
That's who I was thinking of was Ralphie.
D Burdette used to do it for Ralphie May.
So Dave did that. And then sure enough, after the show, the guy was like, ah, man, we only made like $80. And Dave was like, oh, really? Because I saw there are all these people here. Where are they from? He's like, a lot of friends from friends of mine, friends of the comics. And he was like, yeah, that's not how it works, man. These people get charged to come into my show. I'm the headliner. You owe me $400. And the guy's like, I'm not giving you $400. And he was like, you're going to give me $400. And the guy argues with him again. And he says, call the guy right now. Call the owner. tell him to bring $400 down here. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. And apparently Dave is like, all right, here's what we're going to do. You're going to call him right now and get him to bring $400 down. Or you're going to give me $400 out of the register or out of your bank account. Or I'm coming over there and I'm getting $400 worth of liquor from behind the bar and then I'm taking off. Which one's going to be? And he gave him $400.
He left there with Cap Morgan.
Yeah, eight bottles of Cap Morgan.
He just did a bunch of oil changes and he went home.
Eight bottles of Captain Morgan.
All right, oh, yeah, so back Fresno. To the bathroom. Oh, yeah. Fresno. We're in Fresno.
Yeah, so I was real young in comedy, so I was real nervous, man. And also, I'm just real, I got a lot of anxiety, so I was real nervous.
Get that cocaine in you, baby. Get that cocaine.
That'll settle you down, bro.
So I'm like pacing around. I'm super nervous, and I'm like, also, Fresno, I used to live there. I know a lot about it. It's like a tough crowd. And like, I'm just thinking about my material. And
yeah, you're a tough dude.
Yeah, real tough.
Very tough material.
Real tough guy on stage. I don't talk about my feelings ever.
You want to see my tiny dick? Hey!
Yeah, I'm like, man, I'm going to go up there and talk about how... I'm going to talk about like gay rights or whatever. I'm just going to get the shit kicked out of me in a parking lot, dude. Yeah. yeah. So I'm like, man, I'm going to fucking die tonight. So I am like, all right. I know how you can deal with the nerves. I'm going to go take a shit, you know? Mm-hmm. Poop out the nerves. And so I go in the bathroom. There's one other dude in the bathroom, and he's like one of the, like, he's one of these guys. He's like stereotypical Fresno scary dudes. Like huge, muscly as all hell, just veins popping out of his neck. Turns around at me and grimaces. I probably literally yelled. I was probably like, like ran into the, I like run into the bathroom stall. I close the door and I sit down. And like 30 seconds later, this smaller guy comes in the bathroom and he and the big guy start doing coke together. And I knew that because the big guy said, this is good coke. So I hear him say that, and then the little guy says, well, man, don't say that. There's someone else in here. Oh, and then the big guy says, what? No, there isn't. And that, like, that moment, dude, that's probably the most scared I've ever been in my entire life. Because he literally saw me go in.
You are nothing but completely vulnerable.
Yes.
You can't run. Your pants are around your ankles. You are shitting.
Even if they weren't. Even if you were wiped, cleaned up, like, you're going to try and fucking bust that door out and run past those two monsters?
Yeah, man.
I'll put my shoulder down and go for it.
He's way
bigger
than me.
What are you going to do with your pants around your ankles?
Well,
you're done.
What I'm saying, either way, I think he's done.
You just have to scoop your shit and throw it at him and then try to all ass
you're
out.
You have to try. It's a good call.
I mean, I also...
smear it.
I didn't really come up hard in Baltimore, you know what I mean?
I would wipe my ass, and then I would hold the paper towel up from like, fucking, all I'm saying is you come at me, you can get this, motherfucker.
That is, I wish I thought of that.
Well,
that would have been great.
Sickle did.
Oh, my God, dude.
What did happen?
He, I'm just like freaking out. And then his friend says, no, dude, I'm telling you, there's someone in that stall, and the guy just goes, dude, no, there fucking isn't.
Now, but do you know how big the big dude is? Did you see him before you went
in? Yeah, I saw him when I walked in, and he saw me. That's why I was like, why? How does he not know
he grimaced.
In here?
Probably blacked out, man.
Yeah, dude, coked out. He's coked out. So he said, the guy says, there's someone in the stall, and he says, no, there fucking isn't, man. And he just straight up kicks the door in of the stall I'm shitting in. Yeah, dude. And I literally,
he's
I'm
in there
not,
pooping out anxiety, and then this happens.
He just shits himself some more.
Man, and I'm not even kidding you. Guy kicks the door in, and the thing that I said to him was, I looked right at him, and I said, there's someone in here. It's like, oh, man.
He was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
In hindsight, yes, that was how he felt. But at the time, I'm so scared of this dude. And he's like all coked out and he's all huge and I'm nervous and afraid. And so he kicks the door in. He stares at me. We stare at each other for a lifetime, you know? And I also shit a little right in the middle of that.
Sure.
Why wouldn't you?
Right, and you're the perfect spot.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like looking at this dude and he just walks out. He kicks the door open and he yells at the top of his lungs, cocaine!
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, man.
Into the club or the whatever?
Yeah, totally. Just walking into Ty Palms. And, man, I was so scared, and I didn't do anything. I didn't talk about it on stage. Nowadays, it would be my whole set.
Was he out there in the crowd? Did you see him in the crowd?
Yes, but...
That's got to be the worst.
But I will say, the reason I think that
he, when you said, oh, I'm so sorry, the reason I think he felt that way is he was like, right when I got to the stage, he was like, turned his back to it and was just like hunched over holding a beer. And then after the show, his buddies came up to me and they were like, you were the dude they told me he kicked the door in. Oh, man. We were like, he's going to make fun of you on stage, dude. And you didn't. What happened, man? I was like,
I'm a pussy, dude.
I'm a huge pussy, man. I'm so sorry.
My God, that's funny. Like,
yeah,
that's also, you know what, that's also judging a book by its cover. You totally saw him, and at the end of the day, he was like, yeah, he's this just yoked out cokehead, but he was actually like shy and probably scared and probably,
who
you
wouldn't
know,
feel awkward making a mistake like that? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Might have had a smaller dick than you, bro.
Hey, might have.
Look, man, I got a huge dick and never make that mistake again, you know?
Do you want to share that story about the police station parking lot?
Oh, damn, dude. Yeah. We're hitting all the coke and, coke and alcohol in my life. I guess there's no
you
coke in
this. You sent the stories. It's not like we called someone up and got them from someone else.
That's true. This is literally a list I sent you. Yeah. No, there's no coke now that I think of it, but there is a really weird... Oh, man. So when I was... I think my sophomore year of college, winter break, I flew home from LA, and a lot of my friends went to college in the Albany area. I grew up in Orange County, New York, which is like an hour north of New York City.
Yeah, that's where they do American choppers, right?
Totally, yeah. Yeah,
my boy Joey Mazmain lives out in Troy.
Okay, yeah. Troy. Sienna is, I believe, in Troy, actually. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'm up there, and then my buddy, like two of my friends who are brothers, or no, wait, not yet. One of my buddies, yeah, okay, sorry, these details are important. One of my best friends goes to Siena College, and then my friend Bobby goes to another school in Troy. So I drove up in my mom's Subaru Outback.
Hell yeah, baby.
In the pouring snow, it's just blizzarding. I get up there.
Is that a four-wheel drive car?
Yes,
all
it
Subarus
is.
Are they? I didn't know.
I
all
think
of
so.
Them.
I think every Subaru is a four wheel drive automobile.
Was that Subaru Brat?
Oh, really?
Four wheel drive. If you had a, if that thing was a four wheel drive with bucket seats open in the bag, then
I'm pretty sure all Subaru. That's one of their things, right? I might be wrong.
The Justy was a four wheel drive car.
Go ahead. The Justy.
Yeah, Subaru Justy.
I never even heard of
it
that.
They used to call it. We used to call it a pregnant roller skate. It was so small.
Wow.
What about a Sicaro? What's
that?
Oh, that's a Volkswagen, right?
Oh, yeah. Sirocco.
Sirocco, yeah.
I've never even heard of these cars. Tight.
It's also a guy's name.
Sarco?
Sirocco.
Sirocco. Okay.
Back to your Subaru Outback.
So I drive up there. I meet up with my friends, Lou and Bobby. And then Lou's little brother, Austin, was up there visiting. And the reason that's important is that Austin was underage. He was 19. And, so we go to a bar that's like the bar that serves underage people near the college. And we get there early. We told a bunch of people we're going to meet them there, but we leave by 9:30 because we're all like just blacked out already. And so, but like the Christmas break has already started. So we get back to where he lives at Siena College and the parking lot is empty. It's this huge parking lot. It's all ice. And I was like, guys, let's do some donuts right now.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So I do donuts in my mom's Subaru Outback. It's the most fun I've had in my entire life.
Awesome?
It is the most fun. And we're on ice, man. Yeah. So it is just...
It's just awesome.
It's going everywhere.
I was in a blizzard one time in Maryland in my 1990 Honda Civic, and they were telling you to be off the roads, but I was going to my girlfriend's at the time, which is a good 25 minutes away, but much longer because everything is ice. And the entire 695 freeway, shouldn't say freeway, it's the beltway there. And there's no one on it. No one on it. And I just fucking ripped that emergency brake. I was like,
no.
All the workers were cheering and shit. I was like, when am I ever going to fucking get to do this again? And just kept. But you know, those big, long slides.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're just, there's nothing to hit, nothing. It was awesome.
Man.
You got to do it.
Oh, yeah. You got to do it. It's just, yeah, especially on ice, man. It's like, you don't know where you're going to end up. And that's the problem. I just smashed into this car. I hit a parking sign and a car, And then I was like, oh, shit, man. And everyone in the car was like, God damn it. And we know we have an underage kid in the car. And I like – so there were two big parking lots right next to each other, literally just separated by a walkway. So we just sort of – we're just like, oh, damn. And I pull over into the neighboring parking lot. We get out of the car and we look at my mom's car. And those Subarus are tanks. I just look at all that's happened is there's a little dent in the bumper and the bumper has fallen down a little bit. That's it. And I was like, ah, we're fine. We go back up into where Lou lives, hang out with his friends. We're up until like 5 or 6 a.m.
Did you ever look at the other car?
Not at all. Not one single time.
Why would you?
We just went back up there. I'm like, dude, we got so drunk that I was like crushing up caffeine pills and snorting them and shit. It was just ridiculous. I was a maniac, man. I was
clearly.
Really. Yeah. Yeah. And so I wake up at like 1 p.m., my friend Bobby being like, dude, we gotta get back to Greenwood Lake. I gotta go home. And I was like, okay, cool. And so we walk down to where my car is, and I can't find it. And we walk around everywhere. I can't find my car. I'm like, we left it right here, right? We have like very little memory. We get a friend. He drives us all around the entire campus. We can't find where we parked the car. Eventually, I literally go to the campus police to report my car stolen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I just turned myself in, guys.
I walk in and I like go up to the counter, and by this time I'm with my friends Bobby and Lewis. And Lewis is one of my favorite people on earth, and one of the reasons for that is that he's one of those guys that's with you 100%. He's got your back no matter what, but he will be laughing in your face while that's right. happening mm-hmm. and like messing with
that's,
you the whole time.
That's what you want for a best
yeah.
friend.
Absolutely, yeah. And so he's just like, he's already laughing, and we walk in, and I tell them, and she goes, the woman behind the counter goes, what kind of car is it? And I tell her, and she goes, huh, hold on a minute. And
we found a guy sleeping there, yeah. The engine running last night.
Picks up the phone, says something I can't hear, and then is like, yeah, the chief, or whatever he was, superintendent, whatever, he wants to talk to you in the back. So I go in the back, he shows me security footage of me doing it. And then later, when we walked out of the building, I saw that these parking lots were right in front of the campus police. We literally did. It was the camera in front of the police office.
Oh, my God. He's just watching, drinking a coffee.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This is the greatest day of his life. Yeah. He was just like, this guy walked in here. Yeah.
Change that board to black right there, man. Yeah. I solved this one.
And what was funny, too, was that he wasn't even really that mad. He was just kind of like, his attitude was like, what do you have? Are you kidding? What are we doing here? And I was like, he was like, were you drunk? And I was like, oh, no, of course not.
No.
No way. And
put my buddy over here laughing in my face.
He was wasted. I was the DD. Yeah. And so this guy is just sort of holding my feet to the fire, being very calm, but being like, I mean, you can't, you know, you can't. Are you kidding? Like, just what's wrong with you kind of thing. And he's telling me that I'm banned from Siena College for life. And he's getting a form that is called a certificate of persona non grata, and he's filling it out. And Lewis, who's with me, he's leaving that day to take a bus trip with his brother up to Killington to go skiing for a few days.
That was a big ski place, yeah.
Yeah, and he, in the middle of, you know, like the saddest moment of my life to date, he leans over to me and he goes, hey, man, how much longer is this shit going to take? And I was like, you can leave, man. You can leave whenever you want.
On top of your mom's outback.
So he leaves. I get my certificate of persona non grata. I have to go get the car from the impound lot. And since they didn't catch me doing it, I didn't get a DUI. And all I got was an unoperated hit and run with no people in the car. It was an $80 ticket, and they gave me the car back.
Same price as that Vegas blowjob, dude.
Yeah, same. This is the same story, actually.
Did you have to pay to fix the other car?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what was what ended up being the damage to that thing?
It was, oh, yeah. I mean,
total?
We don't need to talk about that. It was like $8,000, man, yeah.
Holy
shit. Yeah, my parents
shit.
Had to pay it. There's nothing I could. I paid as much of it as I could, but they hated me. Yeah.
I lost control going down the hill, Ma. I tell you, that Outback, they say four-wheel drive. I don't think so.
Man, that's pretty close to what I said. For to this day, the only way, if they listen to this podcast, they will find out I was drunk and I did donuts. They don't think that's what happened.
No, I'm sure.
Yeah. And man, I had that certificate. It was a pink slip. certificate of persona non grata. I got it framed. I hung it
up.
You
still have it?
No. Because I had a party when I was a senior in college.
Him, right? Did you go there?
No, I went to USC.
Oh, okay.
And I had it framed. I put it up in my house in L.A., and my senior year, we had a party, and someone stole it off the wall. So someone else has it.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I would love it if it's fucking Miles Van... What the fuck was your...
Mitchell Hal Felix?
Yeah. Imagine he's got that shit.
Well, we're at that point, man. Thank you so much for coming on. This is awesome.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you. You're always welcome here, Dave Ross.
Thank you so much, dude.
Will you please, one more time, your social media, whatever you'd like.
At Dave to the Ross on everything, DaveToTheRoss.com. If you're in L.A., come to my show, Good Heroin, and listen to my podcast, Suicide Buddies.
Great to have you here, buddy, as always. JLarsonComedy.com, JLarsonComedy, all social media.
Pleasure to have you here, Mitchell. RyanSickler.com, RyanSickler on all social media. We'll talk to you all next Tuesday.